We've been talking about Called to Be as a series that we've been involved with, or we've been talking about each week. This week, I'm going to talk about we're called to be ambassadors. We're called to be ambassadors. Last week, I talked about how we're called to be the church. And so if you haven't had a chance to listen to that, go back to our live stream archived area on our website, and you can see that, or you can go to the audio version and hear that as well. We talked about called to be the church. Today we're called to be an ambassador for Christ. And I want to talk about what that means to be an ambassador and how important being an ambassador is right now in the situation that we're currently in with what's been going on in Eastern North Carolina. And so you look at an ambassador, the definition of an ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative in a foreign country. An envoy, an emissary, a representative, high commissioner, a consul, consul general, diplomat. These are different words to say, basically, an ambassador. But all ambassadors officially represent the U.S. government on behalf of the president in dealing with treaties, negotiations, immigration discussions, foreign aid projects, and humanitarian aid. That's what an ambassador does. An ambassador and their staff is also is to protect Americans traveling overseas. They provide security for U.S. citizens during emergencies, during national disasters. And so what we're going to talk about is we are ambassadors for Christ, for those of us who know Jesus, for those who work and call upon his name. Let me show you, here's the verse that I want to share with you this morning. You say, hey, I haven't read that in the Bible. Well, I'm about to show you the verse where it's at in the Bible. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. The righteousness of God in Christ. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your grace that's poured out upon us. Help us this morning as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So for us to be an ambassador of Christ, the first thing we must do is we got to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. Because an ambassador represents important people. I tell you what, if you ever talk about the ambassador of Russian ambassador, or one of the biggest problems, if we have a problem with a different nation or government, the president will call back their ambassadors, which basically is just a little of a slap in the face. We disapprove of you and what we're doing, so we're pulling back our ambassadors from them. So that's a really critical role as an ambassador, as a representative. Now, for the Christians, for those who believe in Jesus, you're representing Jesus out in the world. Out there, which is a scary thought in and of itself, that I'm representing Jesus. But in order for you to represent Jesus, you first and foremost, you got to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, which basically means you got to be saved. You got to know Jesus. It says in Romans 10, verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For from the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. In other words, in order to enter into the kingdom, in order to be a citizen of the kingdom, you've got to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. And if you have not done that, then at this point you're not a citizen of the kingdom of God. You're just a citizen of America or whatever country that you're from. But in order for you to be a citizen, you've got to commit your life to Jesus Christ. And when you do that, it changes everything. It changes how you act, changes how you respond. You ever been in situations, I have been in situations, maybe not you, that I've wanted to just tell somebody off. Thank you, Todd. You're one of my supporters in here today. You wanted to blast them. You wanted to tell them a thing or two. But I've been in those moments. And the thought entered my mind, I'm representing Christ. How one of those bracelets sort of popped up on my wrist. What would Jesus do? People still have those, by the way. I don't know. Some people still have them. what would Jesus do in this moment if I truly am an ambassador? If I truly am representing Him, doesn't it change how I act? Doesn't it change how I treat people? Doesn't it change how I speak to people? And there's been moments that I held back, and by the grace of God and by the Holy Spirit, I was able to restrain myself because I was trying to live with a God consciousness. Now, the Lord knows there's been times I totally blew it. Has anybody ever blew it? Don't raise your hand. I'm sure we've all had our moments where we blew it. Now, I'm not saying that you're a doormat and you never step up and really get in somebody's grill if you have to. If they hadn't fixed my car right, I'm going to talk to them about it. And then if they've argued with me, thank God I have a good mechanic. But I'm just saying that as an example, then if I have to push, I'll push. But there's a way to do it to maintain your ambassadorship. You know, I'm sure an ambassador, when there's a problem with the country, their ambassador goes and talks to the other guy's ambassador, and they sort of butt heads about this, and then they send word back to the presidents or the prime ministers. And so they deal with each other. So it's not like you just walk around and you are a doormat, but there's an aspect of acting like an ambassador and acting like a diplomat as a Christian, because it changes everything when you become a citizen of heaven. Now, Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself." I'm not going to dig into all that. But it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." I believe that Paul is saying to that, to people who know Jesus, that your citizenship is in heaven, so that we will not get totally caught up in this temporal world. That there's more to the life that we have. There's an eternity that we have. That the Bible says we're not of this world. That there's more to life than what we see in the natural. That injustices that are done in this earth and in this life, even though we work against injustice and work against those things, yet the total justice is only going to come when we go into heaven. Pain and suffering will never completely end until we go to heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. There's other people who say we're aliens on this earth. So there's an eternal perspective you have to have as a Christian, as an ambassador, as a citizen of heaven. My citizenship in heaven is before my citizenship in America. Thank God for my citizenship in America. I wouldn't give it up for anything. No matter who's leading the country, I'm going to be an American citizen. Thank God for that. But our citizenship, first and foremost, is in Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven. Now, the problem that comes into this, people tend to take this too far. In a sense, you ever heard this statement, you know, you're so heavenly minded, you're of no earthly good. That's an old statement that came back years ago. Anybody remember that? Am I only? I keep showing my age up here sometime when I'm preaching. Of no earthly good. So there's this dual responsibility we have. It's this dual thinking an ambassador of Jesus has to have. The first one being, we're a citizen of heaven first. That's where our home is. But yet we are being commissioned by God, on the other hand, to change the world right here, right now, to be salt and light. And in Matthew 28, it says here, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth," right here. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." In other words, from here we go, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So here we see that we have our citizenship in heaven, but yet we also have a commission to change this world right now and to serve and to make impact in our community. The vision of this church is to reach our city to change the world. And the world is Greenville. The city is Greenville. The world is New Bern. The world is Topsail. The world is whatever's happening around us, that we can go and be a part and serve the kingdom of God. as citizens of heaven, as ambassadors of Christ, we're to go out and serve our fellow man and to work and help out other people. Number two, the first one was we must know Christ. First, we must be a citizen of the kingdom of God. That's number one. Number two, we represent Jesus in the world. We are his hands and his feet. You know, it's easy to tell people, go be warm and be filled, and they're sitting there suffering without us doing anything to help them. Sometimes it takes some sacrifice. But we represent Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. It says, it's interesting, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So we're given a ministry. We are given as part of the citizenship of heaven, as part of our calling here, we are given a reconciliation to God. It says reconciliation. The first thing, we've got to reconcile people to Jesus. And one of the greatest things is, my prayer is, throughout all the tragedy that's happened, that people will be reconciled to Jesus through this. Because I tell you what, when you're desperate, you look to Jesus. When things are happening, you can look to God. It's when things sometimes are so comfortable, then people sort of ignore Jesus. Ignore God. So I'm believing that God can take a bad situation, turn it around, that we can have God just pouring out his grace, pouring out his anointing all over eastern North Carolina, South Carolina, wherever all the devastation has taken place. But we are to serve and be compassionate as ambassadors of Christ. We're to be, to not only be citizens of heaven, but realize we're also citizens here on this earth, that we need to do serve and compassion. Our church, we should be compassionate. We should serve and compassionate for people. But our first responsibility is reconciliation to God. It's part of the citizenship of heaven. The second part is there's a citizen reconciliation to people. That we should have love for all people. As we represent Jesus in this world, we should love other people. You know, I was talking to Bazalem Wookney. I don't know if I said that right or not. He's a pastor friend of ours who is from Ethiopia, who's starting a church in Maryland. He'll be our guest speaker here International Sunday. You don't want to miss that. It's going to be the first weekend in November. But he, at one point, was heading up a 150 organization of churches in Ethiopia. God sent him here to start a church in Maryland. There's like hundreds of thousands of Ethiopians up in the Maryland area that he's coming to reach. Already got a church started. He's already got a couple life groups. He's on his way. And praise God, we're happy to be able to serve him through Global Impact. And so we have an investment in what's happening in the Ethiopian community in America. Praise God. Just to let you know, God is going to do some exciting things. Bazala's one of those guys, he's not going to be stopped because he's full of faith. But I was talking to him, and he said, Eddie, and I can't mimic his English act, his Ethiopian accent. But he said, Pastor Eddie, the church is the first and only institution in the history of the world that has broken down the dividing wall of ethnicity and race in the world. He said, it's the only organization that's been able to bring people together from other races voluntarily. I'm not talking about a government dominating races of people and forcing them into a country like the Roman Empire or something, or any other country. But it's the only one that has broken down the dividing wall between individuals, that we love people no matter what their race, their creed, their color, no matter who they are. And he said that to me, and I had thought about that, but I never heard it said quite like that. That part of our calling and part of who we are at this church is to have a diverse church of people from all races, of all backgrounds, from all countries. That's who we are. That's what we're called to do. It's one of our core values in this church. Any one of our core values, go to the website. I got them listed out there. That's our core values. Go, and it tells you who we are and what we're all about. And that's the umbrella upon which we work. And of those many core values, one of those is racial reconciliation and diversity. That's who we are. Revelation 7:9 says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and people and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches were in their hands. All, every nation, all tribes and peoples and tongues, which is exciting to me, that Jesus is not just here in Eastern North Carolina. Christianity is a worldwide religion. Jesus is everywhere, all the time. I've heard that there's Muslims secretly worshiping Jesus all over the Middle East. Jesus is doing what he needs to do, and we are ambassadors here in the city where God has placed us. Galatians 3 said, "And there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free man, there's neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus." We're all one. The Church of Antioch, which I talked about some a few weeks ago, was so mixed, so diverse. What an example that we have. And as ambassadors of Christ in our community, especially during this hurricane season, we need to show the love of Jesus no matter who they are, no matter what's going on in their lives. Compassion. There's nothing like just somebody patting you on the shoulder and saying, you know, it's going to work out. It's going to be all right. It's going to work out. I remember one time when I was after we had been flooded in 99, and I went down to New Orleans. Remember the big hurricane down in New Orleans that took place and went in and just devastated? I know I went down there to do some recovery relief with the church down there, and they told us there was a big line of people, and they would come in and we would distribute all the food and water because they were coming in trying to work on their homes and sort of find out what the damage was like. And we were there as a church wanting to serve the people but realizing we didn't have all the answers. And they said, look, don't ask them how they're doing, just ask them how you're holding up. Because the problem, nobody's doing good. If they said, yeah, I'm doing good, you know you're not. Because that's a stressful thing. And so we were there, and we were in many lines over and over. I say, well, how are you holding up? How are you holding up? And because I had been through something similar, not quite as bad as some of those folks, I sat there and said, look, I want you to know I made it through. This happened to me. You're going to make it. It's going to be all right. Just be patient. The FEMA is going to help you. The government, just give them some time. It's going to work out. And it just seemed to bring comfort over people. Oh, so you've experienced some of this. Yes. I'm from Eastern North Carolina. We're from Eastern North Carolina. If you don't know anything about a hurricane, then you've been sleeping under a rock somewhere. I don't know. I mean, and they said, oh, you're from Eastern North Carolina. I said, oh, yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, we've heard about you guys, you know, you in Florida. I said, yeah, we're the two main spots. But just to be able to have the compassion to be an ambassador for Christ as these people were going through, that's what we're called to do. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ for every person. The third thing I want to say is we need to love and serve one another. You know, an ambassador and her staff also aid Americans traveling in the country and provide security for U.S. citizens during emergencies and natural disasters. Our church is a place of compassion. If an ambassador for America is to help out people who are U.S. citizens from the disaster, lo and behold, the church, when we have our friend Reed and Debbie, we can help them out because we believe in serving and having compassion and being ambassadors for Jesus no matter where we're at. John 13 says, "By this all men will know that they are my disciples, that they have love for one another." I've heard it said, people say they want to know how much you care first before you preach to them. And I think if they know how much we care and we love people, then they're going to listen to us and they're going to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We're called to be an ambassador. You know, we're called to bring security. I remember I was at the store as we're wrapping this up. I was at the store and I've never seen such a run on water in my life. I was in Walmart, and they put some water out, and as I'm walking across there, it just dissipated. All of it just disappeared before I could even get here. And then I even found myself running faster, walking faster to the water, because I don't make sure I got it. And I just waited a minute. I said, wait a minute. Calm down, Eddie. God is in control. And so eventually they put out some water at the very far back. You know how big Walmart is. And I started walking, and I said, you know, I walk brisk. I'm not going to run. I decided I was not going to run back there and get water. I said, somehow, some way, God, if we need water, God will figure it out. Now I got water don't even need, but maybe I can give some to Reed on his way. But I walked, and there was this lady. They were piling it up in a cart, and I'm not trying to be anybody's judge. Maybe they were doing it for a whole bunch of families, and they're trying to get it for people. They were piling it up this high. This lady's piling it up, and I just stood there, and I thought, you know, I can't even hardly get around to get me any water. People are bombarding, so I walked around, grabbed me one. And then as I was standing there, the lady turned around. She grabbed it and turned around and gave me one. I said, well, thank you. I guess she felt bad because she had taken so many, I guess. But she gave me one, and again, it's a reminder that the Lord says, Eddie, I got this. You don't have to run and be fearful of what's happening. So I put it in the car, and we left. And so God is good. But there's been so much fear with this hurricane coming. I felt it everywhere I went. The stores, so much fear, so much, oh my God, what are we going to do? I mean, people filling up gas. I mean, it was intense everywhere I went. I think as ambassadors of Christ moving forward, we need to bring a spirit of peace to people. A spirit of, you know, it's going to be okay. Jesus loves you. I love you. And let's help people get past their fear, get past some of these things so they can start putting their eyes on Jesus. I believe us as ambassadors of Christ, we have a great moment to be salt and light in our community and as communities around us. So I believe God will open up a door for us. He'll open up a door for you to share with some people or even pray with people as we're moving forward. Okay? So let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace poured out upon us. Thank you, Lord, that we've made it through this storm. Thank you for all those who have been hurt safe. Ultimately, Lord, it's about human lives. It's not about property. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness and for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.